This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to What Was Her Name? The show where I will uncover the stories of domestic abuse survivors. I'm your host, Maya Hoover. Hey guys, and welcome to What Was Her Name? My name is Maya Hoover, and I'm the host of What Was Her Name? I'm here with my friend Serena. Wait, are we saying your name?
Yeah, you can say my name.
Okay. We're here with Serena. She's one of my good friends. And yeah, some of the graphics that you've seen on What Was Her Name is actually done by Serena, I think specifically on season 4. Super talented artist. And I'm just super grateful that we're able to talk. And I think we connected originally through the podcast, right?
Yes. I think what happened was I was following your Instagram for the podcast and utilized it a lot just for my healing journey. And you happened to reach out because you saw my artwork up at a coffee shop around here. Yes. And you're like, oh, wait, you follow me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our mutual friend was like, I really think that you should connect with her because I think you'd really be friends. And I was like, okay. And here we are. So,
yep, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, like, how all of these connections happen. And, yeah, obviously, you know, you have, like, some history within this area. And, I mean, I know bits and pieces, but I'm looking forward to kind of, like, just unpacking that a little bit more today. So I think the question that I always like to start with is, how did you meet the person that you were in that abusive relationship with?
So, not the best reflection of me, but I actually met him through a friend of mine that he was dating. They were casually seeing each other at the time, and they kind of lost touch and they stopped seeing each other. And then they started kind of seeing each other again. And at that point I was living with this friend, and then him and her kind of decided they were just going to be friends. He kind of incorporated into our friend group that way.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we just started a romantic relationship.
Okay. And what was he like in the beginning?
He was really attentive. It was really intense. It shifted quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one minute we were friends, and then the next minute we were in a relationship. Like, it just happened really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember feeling like it was just a very intense situation, but feeling like, well, you know, he's a nice guy, we're friends, like, maybe, because I had known he had liked me for a while, and I was like, maybe this is just what happens.
Mm.
You know, but he was really intense in the beginning.
Intense, like, in what way?
Like, saying he was obsessed with me, saying we were, like, he's never felt like this ever before in his whole life, that he thought he was in love before, but he was wrong. Like, this is the first time he's ever, just like, kind of just like, just big declarations. Like, I love you. You're so amazing. You're just like, there's nobody like you. You were like, so similar, we're like two halves of like the same person, like stuff like that. Does that make sense? like kind of soulmate type esque conversations.
So just very extreme. Very cool.
Yes, within like a matter of like a month.
He's giving love bombing for sure.
Yeah. It's giving something that is for sure.
Yeah. It's always hard to like kind of depict whether or not, and I think that's like a big fear that like I've had, and I know a lot of other people is like, even when they date like post abuse, or if like they're just aware of stories like this, they want to make sure that they don't end up missing those types of like red flags. And it's like, well, yeah, of course you're going to be like totally just like enamored by the person initially because you're like putting your best foot forward. It's exciting, it's
Exactly.
fun. But it's like sometimes there's that fear of like, oh, am I being love bombed, or like is this just like a like is this my soulmate? And like I don't think there's anything wrong with like necessarily having those thoughts, but it's like when it's very fast and very extreme, I think it's like, yeah, unfortunately people can like misuse that. And then when you have an initial connection that's like out of this world, like indescribable, then I mean it's kind of like this heightened high that you're on, and even when things begin to flip, you're always like trying to get back to that point because you're like, well, at one point
Exactly.
like this.
Exactly. And you're always, like you just said, you're always trying to get back to that point or get back to that previous time. And it can be, when it is love bombing and when the love bombing ends or is not of use anymore, it can be very jarring and very confusing, because of the sudden shift. Definitely. I was like only 23 at the time. No. I was only like 22. I had just turned 22, and I'd actually been coming off of a another abusive relationship, unfortunately. That prior relationship to him was very overtly abusive. I had a few people reach out saying they were worried about me and just kind of the observations they had made between him and I got out of that relationship. So I think what was hard was when you feel so bad for so long and you are receiving a treatment that is horrible, and then you're shifting into this gear where you're like, well, this is safe because this person isn't calling me names. This person isn't making fun of me. This person isn't threatening me or using coercive control on me right now. But it feels so good. Like, you're com if all you've been experiencing for 6 to 8 months is abuse, then you get out of it and then you don't really heal. Like, I didn't heal. I didn't take time to be alone, like, at all. And when I had gotten into it felt so safe because also he was very dynamic. He's extremely talented. He's an artist as well, but he is a very shy person. He's very reserved. So it seems safe, right? Because it's a total shift.
I think that's really interesting that you just said that, because I think sometimes like there's maybe like a misconception in our society of like what an abusive person like looks like,
Oh,
because
absolutely.
yeah. And so I think like that can come in any shape, in any form, and they can be shy, they can be, you know, introverted, or I don't know, just like they don't have to necessarily look. I don't think anybody, I don't know. I always used to think that, like, in even the experience with my ex-husband, like, he looks totally normal. Like,
Oh, yeah, totally. We've had this conversation. Yeah.
yeah,
Like, you would never think it.
you would never think it. And people, when I always ask, like, in the beginning, when I first started airing stories, I'd always ask for a picture of them just because I was like, I would sometimes like wear out
Curious.
space, or I was curious and I would like post it. I stopped doing that with the art, but every single time, literally every time, I'm like, that's him. Like,
I know.
usually it's like 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, it's like this amazing, smart, talented, strong woman. And then there's just like this measly dude who's like, who does not look
No,
like
yeah,
all that. And
you're
I'm like,
right.
him? Like, he is the one that we're talking about. And so it puts things in perspective. And I think it's like, yeah, like they don't need to look a certain type of way for them to be abusive.
No, and what's interesting too is I think there's kind of like a safety in believing an abuser will look this way and act this way, right? Because then we can better guard ourselves, so to speak. But the reality is, and I just had a conversation actually with the friend we met through, so the girl he had dated and was my roommate at the time. You know, we had a conversation about it, and she's like, I never would have thought, like, I never, and she was like, given, like, you know, we didn't actually like get in a relationship, but and she's like, our friendship was very surfacey when they became friends, but she said like she never would have thought it. But then she said, looking back, like hindsight's 20/20, of course, though. And she's like, you can kind of, she's like, I can kind of piece it together. And you have to keep in mind, this was like 2016, and I think psychological abuse just wasn't something that like is as like talked about as it is now. Like, it's in media now, it's like there's TV shows, books, there's like more psychologists coming out talking about it, but at the time I don't feel like there was much knowledge about it, so we just didn't, you just didn't really like know, you know.
I think there's definitely like people are bringing more awareness and they're not afraid to talk about these subjects, which I think is like really shaping as a whole. Like, I think even just like the youth and the younger society, because they're like being able to be more aware for themselves. And I think like not talking about these things, not having like advocacy that's being done and that's like socially acceptable, I think caused a lot of harm. And like, I mean, I literally
Yeah, totally.
know so many older people who are still currently in marriages and they're like so unhappy and they're being abused and they don't even realize it, or they do, but they're like, it wasn't socially acceptable for them to leave or talk about it, so they're still there, stuck.
Exactly. Or people just chalk it up to like, well, this is just an immature relationship. Like, what's going on is just like two people who don't get along, or this is just childish behavior, or, and it's like, well, no. When someone is intentionally shifting your reality to be able to control you, that's not just immature behavior. It's definitely something, but it goes beyond just like this is a juvenile relationship. It's like some, I think we can like dismiss stuff and just like, oh, that's just drama. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, you know, she's dramatic, she's just heartbroken, she's just being dramatic about it. But it's like, no, like there's like actual psychological damage that has been done to this person that they're gonna have to repair from, that was intentionally done to them.
I couldn't agree more. As far as you and your ex, like, I know you said that he was like initially, obviously, things you were connecting, and then you noticed that, I mean, things were extreme, or it was like very soulmate-esque. When would you say that you realized the first time that you realized that something was wrong?
I would say, so I would say it was like the end. So we started dating in February of 2016. I would say by the end of March, I started to notice like a pattern. It would be like really intense, and like I would feel like really loved and really valued and really seen. And then the next moment, it was like just the fact that I was around was just the worst for him. Like he couldn't stand being around me. And I could not figure it out. I was like, what am I, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, and I would just start to like, but he wouldn't tell me if I was doing anything wrong. So I was like, is it that I'm around too much? Am I texting him too much? Or like, am I not texting him enough? Like, what have I like done? And I remember just like this coldness, like this like just general annoyance of my existence and being in the same room with him really bothered him. And I remember just like feeling really stressed, like really, really stressed, like, 'cause it's just like I couldn't figure out like what was it that I was like doing. And it started with small things like kind of comparing me to, 'cause I was very like in his career field, there's a lot of men. And the men that were around him were very different from him. And the girls those men were dating were definitely super different, but they blended into that crowd, if that makes sense what I'm saying. I did not. And it started kind of off with that, like kind of comparing me to like women his friends were dating or married to. And then started a comment about just kind of generally the way I looked. And shortly after we started dating, I went off to work at a camp in Washington at a Christian camp for about 6 weeks, maybe it was eight. And during that time, like things were started getting like intense again. So like the distance kind of made things intense. But then I remember I at the time I just like didn't really have a lot of direction, and I was offered a job from someone at the sister camp here in New Mexico, and I wanted to take it, but it was in Santa Fe or close to Santa Fe, which is an hour away. And I was really excited, kind of started to feel like I was kind of getting direction, and he was just like really like cold about it when I had called him to tell him. And I was like, well, like, what do you think? And he said, well, do you think that's like something you'd be good at? I'm like, what? And he was like, it was actually a social media position as a social media coordinator, which you know is my job now. And he was like, I just don't really feel like that's something that you'd be good at, essentially. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, you know, if you take this job, we can't be together. Like, this long distance thing with you in Washington has been really hard. And I know it's only an hour away, but I won't be able to make time to see you because work is so demanding. Someone kind of told me, like, first of all, I don't kind of said like he doesn't think that's really up my alley, and that he felt that if I took the job, we simply just like couldn't be together. And that's gonna come full circle later on. But I didn't take the job, I turned it down, and it was like the hardest thing because, and that's on me because, but I thought I was in love, and I was like, this may be my one chance at love, like I need to make this work. And the guy who had offered me the job was like, are you sure? Like, I just really feel like you should take it. And I said, no, like I think you could find something better. And he's like, maybe, but like I liked your portfolio, I've seen your work, like I would really like if we could hire you. And he kept offering up until they hired somebody else. I remember when they hired somebody else, like I just had the worst pit in my stomach, like I made a mistake. But at the time, I was so infatuated. I was like, well, the payoff is being with this person, and maybe like something better will come along, right? because he knows me so well. Like he's saying, we're two halves of the same person. He sees things in me, or he knows things about me that no one before me that I've dated, no one before him that I've dated has seen. So he must be right. Like but he knows me best, right? Or I thought he did. So it was just kind of a recipe for disaster. But that's when a big shift happened. And then I came home and things were really intense again for a while because we were reunited. And then after a couple weeks, the kind of coldness became more than the warmth, if that makes sense. Like his level of, like the days he was kind to me and warm and excited to be with me were few and far between. And he was more and more irritated to be around me. And around this time, and I would just keep asking him, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what is it? And it would start to become things like about my personality he didn't like, that my personality was too strong. He would always tell me like I was too loud and would tell me to like lower my voice when we'd be like out, especially if we're hanging out with his friends. He would tell me to stop. And so like I would kind of like whenever I'd be around him, I would intentionally go into it like almost putting on a mask, like, okay, like this is what he wants, so this is how I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be more reserved. I'm gonna tread lightly. It was like walking on eggshells, like what kind of version of him am I going to get today? And it when you like continue to deny yourself and like tenets of your personality that you know are true to fit someone else's mold to make them happy, it like really eats away at you. And I remember I around this time I started drinking like really heavily, like which I hadn't been doing in a long time. Like in my early college days, I definitely liked to have fun. Then I got my life on track and started making better choices for myself. And then around this time I started picking it up again and I started drinking like pretty heavily. And I enjoy wine, I enjoy beer. I can't drink now because I'm pregnant. But I definitely looking back knew I was self-medicating with just getting drunk, like being drunk and just being numb, and because I didn't feel like I was enough. And that's the only time I was honestly comfortable in my skin at that point was when I was drunk.
Right.
And he didn't like that. And he would get really upset about it. And I'd say, like, I'm so sorry, which in a healthy relationship is reasonable, obviously. But it wasn't like, you're hurting yourself and I love you and I want you to take better care of yourself. It was like, you're so embarrassing. You're so messy. I can't believe you're like this. I would never act like this in public. And it was stuff like that, like degrading. And so I would drink more and it was just a really vicious cycle. So basically every day together just became like coldness. And I would just, because I was going to school at the time, so I'd go to school, go to work, literally sit at home and wait for him to text me. And this was worlds apart different from in the beginning when it was this attentive, loving, warming warmth. Like caring, I felt safe, like introducing him to my parents, who are highly critical, loving people, and bringing him around, like my siblings, like just kind of like integrating him into my home life. And it got to a point where it felt like I was in a relationship with someone totally different. And I knew a conversation had to happen. And I was becoming so unhappy. And I was like, who am I? Like, this isn't who I am. I don't sit around and wait for someone to text me. This is supposed to be my partner. And he's treating me like some guy I'm just like casually seeing. Or like I'm just some girl he's casually seeing. It was just totally different. Like, I hadn't heard, like, I love you in, gosh, I think at that point it had been like over a month since I'd even been told, like, I love you. And, like, I was just taking whatever pieces of him I could get. And the excuse was always, well, work is really busy. And then I'd find out that, like, he wasn't at work, he was with his friends. And I remember he went to a Friendsgiving with some other artist, I believe from the Santa Fe area, and he wouldn't take me with him. And I was like, I really want to go. I really want to meet these people like you've been hanging out with. And he's like, no, you won't like it. You won't like it. And I was like, are you like embarrassed for me to go? And he's like, you're being like really silly. Like, come on, like don't be so sensitive about this. And that's gonna come back later too. And I said, okay, fine. And it was just kind of like he was building this life and there just wasn't room in it for me. But every time I'd bring it up, it would be like, well, you're acting crazy or you're being emotional and here you are again. Like, why can't you just be like more like this or more like that? And eventually one night I had asked about his house. I said, do you still love me? And he just said, no, I don't love you anymore. And I was crying. I was like, okay, like I can't be with you if you don't love me. I'm not going to be with someone who doesn't love me. And then he was like, well, do you think your parents are in love? And I said, what? And he said, do you think your parents still love each other? And to clarify, he's referring to my mom and my stepdad. And at that point, my stepdad and my mom had been married for like, gosh, 5 years. So I was like, well, I would hope so. It's only been 5 years. He's like, but that's a long time. And you don't think they have to make it work? Don't you like their marriage? Don't you love their marriage? Don't you love their relationship? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, then we should work at this. So he wanted me to stay with him, even though he was telling me he didn't love me. And he also told me he wasn't attracted to me anymore. And that like broke me. And we spent all night arguing. And I had told him, I don't want to be with you. I'm not going to be with someone who doesn't love me. I remember calling my younger sister the next day. And I was so upset. And my sister just said, you would never like allow me to even think about staying with somebody who didn't love me anymore. So why can't you take your own advice? And I just remember my sister being so disappointed. And that was enough for me to say, you know, I can't be with you. And this was actually right around Christmas time. So it was a day like an evening a lot like today, like very cold. It was very dark and rainy, just like horrible timing to go through a breakup where there's like little to no sunlight. And it wasn't even like a couple days before he started to shift again. So he went from I don't love you to crying and wanting to stay together. And I kept telling him, like, I need to come get my things. Like, please let me just come get my things. And he would ignore me. So he would initiate a conversation about how upset he was. And then I would say, okay, but I need to come get my things. Then he'd stop texting me and he wouldn't answer my calls. So I finally was just like, I'm going to come at this time to your house when I know you're home and I'm going to come get my things. Like, I need them back. We're broken up. And when I showed up, he was, I just remember him smelling really bad. Like, he smelled really, really bad. Like, he hadn't been showering and he was clearly drunk, clearly high, and not well shaven. And I just really was like, I'm gonna stand my ground. I'm not gonna be pushed back into this relationship. Like, I'm just not. Like, he said what he said, and he needs to hold to his word. And this is just the course. Because it's not wrong if someone doesn't love you anymore. That happens. But it's not right to try to keep somebody you don't love in a relationship with you because they're your like comfort animal or something.
Yeah, I
Does that
agree.
make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
And so, yeah, so I went to get my sweater because he had gotten my stuff together for me. And he had try to have a conversation about everything that had been going on. I said, no, you said what you said, we're done. And he took my sweater and like got in a fetal position on his bed and like wouldn't give it back to me. And I had to pull my sweater out from under him and he was just crying. He's like, please just stay here with me tonight. I said, fine. Because I still loved him. It wasn't like I stopped loving him. And so I was thinking, okay, maybe he means it. And by the next morning, he had changed his mind again and was disgusted and bothered and essentially told me I manipulated myself into the situation for us to reunite. Yeah. And I was like, what? And so that essentially is what happened over the next 8 months. He would tell me he didn't want to be with me. I would be heartbroken. And then I would move on and heal. And then we would come back together, whether it was like I was checking in on him because I had a lot of worries about him, or he would pursue me and then he wouldn't stop pursuing me until I relented and I would go back over to his home and spend time with him. And then and he would have these big declarations of feelings for me or love or saying he made a mistake. And then within like 24 hours, we would be back to like the coldness and saying he didn't want to be with me anymore. It all kind of came up to a head. I think it was like August 2017, we had been together not even like a week, and he started to pull away again and just arguing a lot because at this point I was so tired and I had found out that he had essentially been seeing another girl at a point, and when I had confronted him about it, he denied it. And someone had given me proof that he had. So for about, I think it was 8 months, so I'm like backtracking a bit. During one of our off seasons, I found out that it was a lie and he was seeing somebody else, or he had not seen somebody else, but he had hooked up with somebody else that he had denied hooking up with. And when I had point blank asked him if that was the case, he said, no, I would never do that to you. I would never hurt you like that. And I believed him. And this mutual friend between her and I brought proof to me. So he had lied about it for about 6 months. And I always had this like aching feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like I knew something had happened, but he kept denying it. And he kept telling me that I was being crazy and hostile, and I was paranoid. And I was acting like my ex who was abusive and by trying to address it with him. So I was like, so what am I gonna do? I don't wanna be an abuser. I don't wanna be controlling. So I stopped bringing it up. And but it would always like be there, like just this like gnawing feeling. And my friend brought forth proof to me. I confronted him, he lied about it again, and at that point when I confronted him, we weren't seeing each other anymore at that point. And he's like, well, you're just saying this because we haven't talked in a while. You're just like making things up, essentially. And I was like, I know you did this. Like, I know this happened. Just tell me the truth. And he kept saying, no. He kind of like had to create like a safe space for him. And I said, look, we all make mistakes. I know at the time you were super hurt. All I'm asking is for you to give me the gift of being honest. And he said, and it took him like 2 hours, and he finally just said, you're right, I did do that. I did lie, I'm sorry. It's like, oh my gosh. I felt like insane. And that, so like other girls were kind of beginning to be incorporated into our situation. Actually, the last time he asked to get back together, he had just gotten back from a date with another girl. And he had told me it was his cousin that was in town. And I was like, there's no way your cousin's in town.
Yeah, that's
And
good.
after I had agreed to re-enter back into the relationship, I just kind of had this feeling to just ask him. And he said, yeah, like I was on a date with somebody else right before you. Right before I asked to get back together.
I
And I
think it's
was like, okay.
Yeah. I think it's like really, I don't know, just like hearing your story. I like how you're like sharing it, kind of just we're getting a feel for the beginning and then kind of like how it transpired. And then ultimately, like you said something, you said like that, you feel like that feeling of something kind of like gnawing at you. Like you didn't have proof that he cheated on you, even though you kind of did, to be honest. But like he was
I
denying
kind of did, yeah.
him to say to you, I did this. And so I think also like from those looking from the outside looking in would be like, well, you did have proof. Or even like now in retrospect, you're like, yeah, that all these things were in front of my face, but the reason that you needed him to say it was because in the progression of your story, like he slowly was chipping away at your self-confidence. Like, I don't know, you don't really seem like you would be a good fit for that position, or you're just like your abusive ex, or you're just overreacting, or, you know, and so it causes you to not be able to trust, obviously, your intuition. And like, and you're being gaslit, and your reality is being gaslit, and so you feel like you're going insane. And so then when that's presented to you and he's still saying, no, I didn't do that, it's like you can't really trust, you don't know which way's up and which way's down. And then to like ultimately hear, oh yeah, actually I have been lying to you, it's like
Well, and to be clear, I actually don't have evidence he cheated, because these situations always happened right after we would break up, but he would be pursuing me to get back together, and then he would suddenly stop.
Right.
So it's technically, he would be like, I technically didn't cheat. Like, well,
Yeah.
you were still trying to get back together with me. It's like, and I think that line of like they kind of creating their own rules is what's interesting too, is like, well, it's technically not wrong what I did, because even though I was trying to still get back together with you and trying to convince you for us to spend time together, and I knew how you felt about me, I was also seeing other girls. So I think that another thing that was hard about it was she was quite a bit younger than us. So at the time, I believe he would have been 27 and she was 19. And that was a really big moral issue for me. And like she had just turned 19, if I'm remembering correctly. And you know what field he's in, but I'm not going to be specific about it. But that's a huge deal considering he knew her through his work.
Like one of his
And
clients.
So I believe she was a client of a coworker. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So we're like having two different conversations.
I know.
It's kind of funny. It's like we're kind of like, we're like, you know the details, but
I know my
yeah.
chat is just, I'm like, oh, I don't, I'm like, I also can't edit this. So I'm like, I so many
yeah,
times
yeah.
say something or like comment
Yeah.
something. I'm like, also just for those who are listening, we're definitely not sitting here at 10 p.m. the night before.
We definitely like aren't just like doing this like totally last minute. It's not that last minute.
It's been
No,
like a
not
whole week
really.
for sure ahead of the time that you're listening.
Just pretend with us.
Just
Don't
pretend.
gaslight us. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. You have to laugh sometimes. Sometimes you look back and you're just like, that was like so ridiculous. That's all you can do sometimes is laugh, because you can't go back and change it. But yeah, essentially, the relationship ended because the abusive ex before him started contacting me again through, because he was blocked, but he found a way to contact me. And that was pretty traumatic. And he had known about this ex. Well, unfortunately, you know, what you would want from a partner post abuse, obviously not the abusive partner, but your partner after the abuse, is for that partner to support you. But there was nothing but shame and something that my abusive ex prior to him would do was he had photos of me and would threaten to send them to people I loved. And this partner that we're talking about, he was really upset to hear that, but not because of what was happening to me, but because that those photos even existed. And said he didn't want to be with me, or he felt like I tricked him because I wasn't fully transparent about the abuse, and that it made him essentially look bad that this ex-partner had those photos of me. And I just remember being really scared because I started working at a job I really loved, and I was repairing a relationship with my parents. And I just remember crying and just being so scared. And he was just like, "How come you, Serena, like, how come you didn't tell me about this before? I feel like totally blindsided." And it became all about him and how he felt and how he felt betrayed. And to clarify, this other partner had photos of me from when I was with that guy, not from when I was with him. Like, it had nothing to do with him, but it became about him. He's like, "Well, I need time to think about this, if this is like something I even want to deal with." And a week, 2 weeks went by. We broke up, and then it was very emotional. And then the following day, we saw each other again to talk about it, and it was emotional again. And it was just like, it was just something you didn't want to do. And then he said, "You know, I think I need help." Because I did definitely get the courage at that point to call him out and just say, "You know, this is what I've been through this year and a half. And this abuse didn't happen to you, it happened to me. Like, I would expect more from someone who claims to be so compassionate and so kind." And he essentially said, "Well, I know there's something not right with me." And I was like, "What does that mean?" And he started to tell me stories about how when he used to work at a restaurant as a manager, and he would give his employees the silent treatment in order to control them. And those were his words. And he said, "I don't know why I do it. I don't know. It's just what I do. And I think I need to figure that out." I said, "Okay." And so he essentially, in a way, admitted to it and said he was going to get help. And then 3 weeks later, I found out he was seeing someone who was living in Santa Fe. And as you recall from what I told you, what was the reason he told me I couldn't take that job? Because it was in Santa Fe and he didn't want to do long distance. And so it had nothing to do with anything. And I just said to him, "You know, I wish you the best. I know you're seeing somebody." I just cut it super dry and was like, "I wish you the best. I'm sorry if there's bad blood between us." Because at that point, he had started to like screenshot photos my friends were taking of me out with friends. And my friends would see, this is back when like Snapchat was the thing. And you could see at that time that someone was screenshotting what you were posting. And a friend of mine was like, "Hey, like he's keeping tabs on you. Like, do you want me to block him?" And I was like, "That's probably best." And he was blocked, so he's unable to contact me, but I just unblocked him and said, "Hey, I know you're seeing somebody. I'm really sorry if you feel like me being out with my friends was hurtful, which I don't know why I'd even apologize for that, but what can you do? And I said, I wish you the best and I hope you get the help you need. And I think the last thing he said is like, there can never be bad blood between us. I was only taking those screenshots because I was confused. And that's when I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. And so I just blocked him and I never spoke to him again. And that was that.
I feel like, I feel like this, I don't know, this dynamic of like, I mean, it's like season five. So, like, we're hearing, we have, I think something that's really beautiful about this space and really unique is that if you listen from like start to finish, or I mean, even if you jump around, but if you listen to these episodes, it's like they all are so unique because it's like a different, everybody's different. Everybody has, no story is going to be the same, but it's like just textbook behavior. And I'm like listening and I'm like, yep. And then let me guess. And then, yep. Oh, yep. He, you know, yes.
It gets a little predictable, yeah.
But not even like, not even like predictable so much as it's like, it's like there's, yes, I guess it is predictable, but also it's like, I'm, it's like, I'm just like mind blown because I'm like, I just like, even the other night, like you and I were sitting here and I was like, what does he look like? And you like sent me his Instagram and I was like, this is him. And I was like, him, this guy, because it's like, he, like, you're great, you're amazing, like, obviously, you know, I love you a lot, and like, I just am like listening to this story and it feels like this isn't even you, and it's like so crazy
Yeah.
to even think that this was like something that existed in your life, because I mean, like, you
Yeah.
smack me when you're like, no, like, this guy isn't, like, this guy, you're like, no, don't be treated like that, or like, no, don't entertain that, or whatever, like, you smack me. And so it's like hearing you and hearing your story, and like, I think just hearing it from start to finish, I'm like, oh, like, so many things click of like, kind of even like advice that you've given me or spoken into me, and it's like textbook
Right.
that I continue to hear over and over and over again. And yeah, it's predictable, but it's also just like, no matter how many times I hear it, I still sit here just like jaw dropped, because I'm like, how did like guys continue to get away with this? And it's like really such a mind fuck to be like having an experience initially where you think that somebody could be your soulmate and they're really intentional with you. And then something that you pointed out that like I don't think I've heard a lot of people talk about actually on the episodes, is like kind of like a stonewalling behavior where they don't communicate what's wrong, and then you find yourself,
Begging.
yeah, searching and begging, and even
Right.
like, kind of, I don't know, like you're backtracking in your own mind, what did I do? Did I do anything wrong? And you learn how to like read their body language because you're trying to like
Yeah,
prepare yourself.
prepare. Right.
And I think
Yeah.
just here, even like in the ways that the abuse manifested in your daily life, you said you're suspicious of people that were close to you.
Yes, super suspicious of people who are close to me. I felt like I could never be fully happy about things because it felt like I didn't have the power to say no if he came back. And I remember the summer of 2017. Him and I weren't talking. Like he had told me, like, I don't want to be with you. We're not a good fit. And all fair things to say to somebody. Except it would change all the time. It would go from we're not a good fit, I don't want to be with you. Comparing pretty much almost calling me desperate and then I would be like, okay. And I'd eventually just give up and say, okay. And then I'd be done. And then it would be like, well, can you meet up? Can you, he would have a reason for us to see each other, or he would keep contacting me until I finally like relented and agreed to see him. And then it would be these declarations. But summer of 2017, I had kind of developed a different friend group. I really decided, you know what? And we've talked about this. I'm going to dedicate 30 days to not looking at his stuff, not talking to him, focusing on me, trying new things, and just enjoying life. Like, I just wanted to enjoy life again and be done with the cycle. And I just started having a lot of fun and being friends with girls who are super cool. And just in like, because nothing is more powerful than like a positive female friendship. And then when you have a lot of them and they're new, it's really exciting. And I swear, like, five good girlfriends can like ease heartbreak so quickly, in my opinion. And I felt like I had that and I was having a lot of fun. And then I remember I always had this feeling of like I wasn't ready to like fully let go though. And then he came back around and wanted to see me, which was probably a result of, in my opinion, I can't prove it, but probably a result of seeing me improving upon my life and enjoying life without him. Like, there wasn't space in my life anymore for him, so he made sure there was space and wanted to get back together. And it was the worst, like, honestly, one of the worst 2 weeks of my life. And I'm someone who has been through, I've lost a parent. When I was 16, my dad passed away from cancer. I've had like miscarriage, I've had a miscarriage. I'm married now, and you know my just kind of our family dynamic and what my husband and I experience. Not to my husband's fault, but I've been through some pretty hard things. And that is up there with like a pretty rough 2 weeks, honestly. But yeah, like it feels like when I talk about this point in my life, I don't feel like I'm even talking about myself, if I'm being honest. Which is because I'm so far removed. It's almost 2024 now. I'm married. I have a little boy. I'm pregnant again with another boy. Definitely will be sure to not be raising boys who act this way, that I've talked about on this podcast. But it feels like a lifetime ago. And just talking with my friend today, like the friend we met through him and I, just like her and I were just like, it just feels like it was just worlds ago. But I think it's important to talk about because I think that, yeah, like it definitely affected me. I will say this for me personally, the abuse I had experienced prior was verbal and started to become physical. And that was obvious. And it was someone who was kind of like, the stereotypical abuser, like sleeping with the enemy type of abuser, and would almost be glad to treat like to he was happy, he'd brag about it. That kind of overt abuse compared to the covert abuse I experienced, the covert abuse has stayed with me so much longer and still to this day, like lingers with me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. I think I think there's this misconception that when you like get out of a toxic abusive relationship that you're going to be out of it, and like to an extent you are, but your central nervous system isn't. And like that's like I think that's part of like the biggest things that fuels this podcast is like that I think that there's a lot of advocacy when it comes to like physical abuse, and like there's pamphlets out there that talk about, I don't know, like warning signs to look out for, like the very basic things, like, okay, like if someone like punches a wall or is like throwing things across the room, like that is like naturally going to be like, oh, danger.
Like aggression, like they only talk about aggression. They don't talk about
The actual like
Like,
emotional,
yeah.
psychological mind warping. And it's like once I started to realize, like, oh, wait, like that's abuse too. And also, like, the advice that like so many people are giving in the church, or I mean, heck, even some counselors, honestly, like that I've come across, or friends that are like uneducated, because why would they be educated on this if they haven't had to like walk through it? And it's like we have to like start talking about these things because they live inside of our, like that trauma lives inside of our bodies, and it's extremely harmful towards us. And like the longer that you stay in a relationship that's like emotionally and psychologically abusive, it really does impact like your central nervous system. It impacts your ability to trust other people in the future, listening to your intuition. It affects your mental health, your physical health. Like you could even over time develop a mental illness like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. Like you could have a stroke. Like I had a stroke. Like it's like we are not like just bound to like they're aggressive, and so therefore you are unsafe and should remove yourself. No, you should also remove yourself if they're like emotionally toxic, because that over time is extremely detrimental to your health.
And I think too, the way that I would kind of explain the relationship was it was very dehumanizing. Because it was I was a thing to keep around to boost an ego. That's how I felt. And what I think, and I cannot speak for who he is now. I can only speak for who he was then, and really, in reality, I'm not really speaking so much about him, but my experience. And what's hard too about emotional abuse is you can still totally love that person because, like for me, unpacking and understanding why, like what had happened and transpired, took me months. Months, because I just chalked it up to he's a really lost person. He hasn't figured it out yet. Like I hope he heals. Like I knew something about it wasn't right, but I wouldn't at the time had called it abuse. And so it took me months to start healing and getting over it. And I had to like essentially fall out of love with him and stop loving him to start seeing things clearly. And so once I stopped, because you do eventually fall out of love with people, it's totally, you can always love have love for someone, but over time, like when you're not contacting them and talking with them and you're going no contact, you begin to start to reevaluate them. And it took me a while, and then it unfortunately wasn't until, because I met my husband for, well, I had known my husband at the time. We were coworkers, but we started dating not very long after, 4 months. And gosh, looking back, like my husband took a lot of the brunt of a pain he didn't cause. Which like makes me so sad, honestly. Because there are good men and they don't deserve to like receive all of that, So it was hard. But I like remember telling my husband, who was my boyfriend, I was like talking to him about it. I was like, I think I was abused again. And he's like, you think? And so he was really sweet, but he's like, sweetheart, I really think you need to go speak to somebody. And I said, and I just remember being in so much denial, like, no way this happened back to back, right? Like, no way this happened back to back. Like, how embarrassing. And I'm not saying it is embarrassing because it's not, but I was so embarrassed and I didn't. And I just remember being like calling one of my good friends and saying, like, I think I was abused. And I started telling her things. And she's like, I had no clue that was happening. Why didn't you tell me that? I was like, I didn't tell you that. And she's like, no, you didn't tell me any of this. And I started to realize like how much I had been like hiding. Like I innately was like inherently, not innately, inherently like it was my go-to to like hide some of his behaviors from people close to me without realizing how like jacked up it was. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. One thing I wanted to backtrack on is you said like that like good men take the brunt of it. I think like I feel like that's like pretty accurate, like dating a safe person. They like experience like the repercussion of that. But I also think it's really beautiful because like you and your husband are like, I mean, someone like you both are people I like I look up to your marriage and like just I don't know, like the calling that God's placed on like your life, like both of your lives is like really beautiful. And so I think it's like really, it always just makes me feel like really hopeful whenever like I come across people who've like gone through abusive relationships and really toxic situations, and then they can be like, yeah, but I am like on the other side of it, and like this is like the healthy relationship I have. But I think like a huge misconception is like, oh, I went through it once, so like it's not gonna happen again, or like there's no way that I'll let it happen again. And it's always something I say on here is like when people are like, oh, nobody ever expects to like be abused. Like I think there's a lot of judgment from people, whether they mean to or not. And I mean, many do mean, actually mean to. To be honest, like on TikTok, I mean, there's a lot of like
Oh
pretty.
gosh, I can't even stay on your TikTok comments for too long. You've seen me comment back. I'm like, I don't hold back.
And like most of the time, it's just funny. Like I'm like, okay, Trish, like I don't know what to like Susan, you know what, like take it up with I don't know what to tell you. Like it's you know, the judgment is so real, and they're like, oh my gosh, like you knew he was a
Why
baby.
did you stay? Why,
And
like,
yeah,
yeah,
and I'm
what
like,
was
you
your,
know,
like, you're such an idiot, obviously. Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
right. And I'm like, you know, I didn't ever plan on being abused. And I also didn't think he was
I
abusive.
did not actually set out to experience this,
Right.
but
Nor
thank
did I
you.
realize even being abused. And it's like you especially don't expect to like be abused a second time and be in like another toxic and emotionally unhealthy relationship two times in a row, but it happens. And like when
It
they're
does. It can happen 3 times in a row. It's really sad. It can.
it there's no like amount of times and it's like okay, like I did my oh my gosh, it's late, due diligence and
Diligence.
I don't have to like be abused anymore. Like it doesn't work like that. And like something that like Caroline, my mentor, says is like she's always like talking to me. Something that I really like that she said
Love
was,
Caroline, big fan.
I know, big fan of Caroline. Caroline, if you're
Shout
listening,
out to Caroline.
that's Caroline Merkel-Hammond because she's freaking amazing. But she told me that when she was like married for like you know what, you guys just go listen to her episode. It's on season four, season three, and it's the Craigslist Files. Her story's incredible, and she was married for a
Oh
very
yeah,
long time.
so crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. One of the craziest stories like I've literally ever heard. And like she was married for a really long time, and when she finally left, she said that like when she was dating, that any time that her body felt like misaligned with somebody, like she would just like remove herself and end it. And I was like, well, wait, like you can end it every time that you like feel misaligned with somebody, because like what if you're wrong? She was like, I had been so far removed from my body and honoring it that it was worth it to make a mistake. I was okay with making a mistake if it meant honoring my body rather than putting myself through this again. And eventually, my body learned that I was going to listen to it when it was telling me something was wrong. And I was like, Damn. But like, I was like, but what do you do if it's like the right person? And she's like, if it's the right person, then they came back and people circled back around, but none of those people were actually the right person for her. And she
Right.
gave me that advice. She was like, you know, it's like extreme advice, but I think that's like really brave to be able to, like, when you get out of abuse and you start dating again, to be willing to walk away from something. And like, I definitely don't have that figured out right now. Like, as you know, Serena, and I'm
I
really
do personally,
trying
yes.
to figure out right now. And it's so dang hard, but
It is
it's
hard.
really beautiful and really brave. And when she told me that, I was like, dang, what if we really just listened to our bodies and honored, you know, that response that our body's giving us of like, something doesn't feel right about this, or I know that they're
Right.
saying that they're not cheating on me, but like something's not adding up,
Right.
and I can't get rid of that gnawing feeling, and I'm just gonna like
Exactly.
take a leap of faith here and listen to my body and remove myself. And I think that's like, even it doesn't even have to be something massive. It could just be like, I don't know, I just don't have.
Or we just don't click, or we just don't have this thing in common, or
Right.
like I told you that story, my story about how a guy I had dated briefly after my ex-partner, like he had put me on the spot to pay for like a cinnamon roll for him, and I was just like, this is so weird, I'm not going back to this. And I was like, I can't. It's like, and I'm sure he's a decent guy, I'm sure he kind of was checking all the boxes, but I was like, you know, I was like, I am so tired, I cannot go back. I was like, this was too much, I'm out. And my friends were like, what is, like, what was that really like a no-go? I was like, it was a no-go for me, girl. He could pay for his own cinnamon roll, but it's just like, I don't roll like that, I don't like being put on the spot. But it felt weird, it felt emotionally weird to me.
Unintended, or were you like, did you just say that?
Wait, what?
Was that a pun that was intended, or did you not intend
No, what did I say?
that? I don't roll like that.
No, I
It's too late.
Oh my, it's too late. Like dad jokes. It's so embarrassing. Don't air this. Scratch the whole thing. Throw the whole thing out.
He said he wouldn't pay for my cinnamon roll. I don't roll like that.
No. He wanted me to pay for his cinnamon roll.
Either way, you do not roll like that. None of us
No, it
listening
was weird.
wants you to pay for this cinnamon roll.
Yeah, but with my husband, it did take time for me to like fully trust, even though he didn't really like give me a reason to not trust him. But I also found myself being pretty like trying to almost destroy the relationship a couple times. And my husband has his own experiences that unfortunately like made him wary of entering into. Is it weary, worry? You get what I'm saying?
Very
It's like,
weary.
yeah, whatever. That's what we're deciding it is. You don't like it, whatever.
Worry.
Accept it as it is. Don't gaslight me. Just kidding. Sorry, I keep saying
Actually, I
that.
think it is worry. Just kidding.
Worry? Oh my gosh, stop. He was also kind of like unsure all the time. And there's a, I'd say, I wouldn't say there's a big age difference. The way you reacted acted like it was, like I was dating a senior citizen, but my husband's only 9 years older than me. And I was like a hot mess, 23-year-old, and he was just like, and I was just crying, blubbering. I was like really a mess because I was really going through it. And he was like, it's okay, like, you know what? We all got our things. And my husband definitely didn't have any room to be picky, so he, I'm just kidding. He really held my hand through a lot of it, and he still to this day, like I tell him what happens, and like when I filled out your outline, I was like, I am so pissed. Like every time, because you never, like you may heal and you may forgive, but you're always like, oh my gosh, like a year and a half of this, I'm exhausted typing this, like the drama. And I was like telling my husband, kind of like I always like forget about these things until I have to like address it with somebody or bring it up, because I do bring it up with girls who I see who are going through it, like you know that I'm quick to be like, so I'm gonna just gonna be real with you. This straight up sounds like so and so. And you're like, no way. And it's like, no, like it's almost the same. Like this, I think this is what I think you're being emotionally abused. So you should probably not see that person anymore. And it's like every time I bring it up, my husband's so sweet. I tell him and he's like, oh, he's like, what an asshole. I'm just like he's one of the girls. Like he's one of the girls. He's a little girl. He's like a girly pop. He's like, what an asshole. I'm like, right.
Like, right?
Just
Doesn't it suck?
he's such a loser. Yeah. But yeah, it's yeah, I think that we both made a lot of good points and we're very wise and we're very well informed and you should listen to her all the time.
Me?
Kidding. Yeah, everyone should
Oh.
listen to you all the time.
Oh. It's like,
No
who?
her, Mia.
I'm like,
I'm always
who?
self in third person
Like,
now.
Caroline? Like, I'm like, who are we talking about?
Caroline, no, definitely listen to Caroline. Caroline
Definitely
knows what's up.
Caroline.
Knows what's to Caroline. Maybe not so much us, but definitely listen to Caroline.
Have to listen to
We're
Caroline
just Meta
because
Mouse.
anything that we say is from Caroline anyways, so
Caroline has basically become my mentor
yeah.
via my.
She's like a secondary
We're
mentor.
just, yeah, she's just like kind of secondary, like second removed cousin almost. Like she's just sharing all her like mentor information with me. Like, that's so good. I'm gonna take a screenshot and just like
Always,
tell myself that every morning.
I'm like, and Caroline said, and Caroline said this, and she's constantly like in my head. I'm like, I can like see her little floating head sometimes. She's like, you should really drink ice water to regulate your nervous system.
Whenever we get into it about like stuff, because we can be, you know, we can be we can be we can be petty sometimes if we wanted to be in private, which is us. I just hear Caroline in the back, like, it doesn't matter, the details don't matter, and I'm like,
Like, but they do, okay.
but they kind of do, and they're kind of like low key a little funny sometimes, so
Okay, wait, I have my last question for you, which is what are your visions and dreams? Wait, two things. What is something you can do now but couldn't do then?
Oh gosh. So I can, that was kind of a hard one to answer, but I can live at peace, and without shame. Because whether I understood I was being abused or not, I lived with like a lot of shame and I felt, and I was like, I didn't feel like I was. Like I knew I was hiding. I was hiding a lot of things from my mom, who I have a really good relationship with, my sister, who I have a really good relationship with, my mentors, like my best friends. Like I was just living in shame, and I can now live more aligned with myself, and I don't think the end goal is to be in a healthy relationship with somebody else but with yourself. But because I am in a healthy relationship with someone, there's just like pieces of me that have blossomed since then. I just don't think would have happened. Like that art you saw at the coffee shop, like I would have never done that in that relationship with him. I just never would have. And just the fact that I even had an opportunity like that, I was like, wow, it's like I remember hanging up the artwork and just being like, this is insane. Like I never would have like had the guts at the time to even like do that, you know? And to his credit, like when he was healthy and he could be kind, and he was working in a space where he felt good about himself, could be an amazing partner, but it was contingent upon how he felt about himself.
Right.
So it wasn't all bad, but a lot of it was. So I do want to say, like, just because it's good sometimes doesn't mean it's good enough.
Yeah.
Good sometimes isn't good enough.
Dang. Yeah. What do you feel like are your visions and dreams now, moving forward?
Gosh, it's like kind of crazy because I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think you should ever stop dreaming or ever stop having like visions for yourself, but about the way you want to grow as a person. But I feel like in a lot of ways, I I am living the life I envisioned and dreamed for myself, honestly. I would definitely love to do my art more. I would definitely love to advocate for younger women more. Not even younger women, like just women in general, because even like women I know, I unfortunately know women who are in their 40s, who in 50s and 60s, like you said, who are in marriages like this. And just doing more stuff like this, like being more brave and being okay with, like, you know what? Maybe someone's gonna listen to this and think I'm annoying. Maybe someone's gonna turn this podcast off and say, like, wow, too much. And that's okay. I'm like, I just wanna be more comfortable in my skin. And maybe it's because I'm 30 now, but that's my vision is like, I just for so long wasn't comfortable with who I was. And just, and I think I've like shared this with you, just like being told I have a strong personality used to hurt me like so deeply. But now it's like, you know what? I do have a strong personality. Like, fuck it. Like, it's just, that's the way it is. It's just the reality. And being like, you know what? That's the way God made me. That's just who I am. Like, definitely, like, don't use it as an excuse to be unkind, but use it to advocate for others, I would say. More of that, for sure.
I think that's beautiful that you're kind of like living in the things you at one point dreamed about, like now. And like, obviously, there's like more things and more dreams and opportunities that will happen. But like, I don't know, you just have like a really sweet life. And like, obviously, it's like no one's life is perfect, but I think like
Right. And
it's like,
you know the struggles and
yeah.
the
But it's
day-to-day
a long time
things.
coming to be in this space, and it's like it's really beautiful, honestly.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that, 'cause I'm like very transparent, obviously, with you and unfortunately, I think I'm a little transparent with too many people. Whoever's listening to this could be like, this is her being like not transparent. yeah, this is actually me holding back quite a bit. Maya's like, keep it clean and don't act crazy. I'm
I'm like, we have
just
no
kidding.
time to edit any
I
of
don't have time to edit this. Please don't make me go
this.
back. Yeah. That means a lot because sometimes I think my life is very honestly, like, I hate to say it, like, it's spectacularly mundane. Like, I work full time. I really enjoy my job, though it's a crazy season in my job right now. And I'm about to go on maternity leave and I'm super pregnant and super uncomfortable. I'm just enjoying, like, yeah, just life, and I'm enjoying, like, my husband and my family, and just, yeah, it's like my life is super mundane. I wake up, my husband and I like get our son ready, drop him off at daycare. We go to work, we work together. We come home, we make dinner, we watch TV, we go to bed. And it just feels like mundane, but it feels simple and safe. And I kind of love it. You know what I mean? And, I think I was really attracted to chaos for, gosh, like such a long time. Like I felt like it wasn't good enough if it wasn't chaotic. And there couldn't be passion unless there was chaos. And that's just not true. And I think I just really enjoy the simplicity of my life. I'm just happy with how it is.
Thing. I think that's beautiful. It's like even in the mundane, like that's kind of like what you wanted. Like maybe you didn't always know that that's what you wanted, and like maybe that was seen as like boring at one point, but now you like because you know what it's like to like not have that, and like that consistency is actually really beautiful and honestly kind of rare, to be honest. And so
Yeah, and I think I'm beginning to realize that more and more that it is rare.
mm.
And something I did tell him when we broke up for the final time, I told him, I really hope you're sure of this decision because, unlike in the past, I will not be here if you change your mind. And I'm going to find somebody who appreciates me and who wants to be with me. Like, and I hope you take me seriously because I'm telling you the truth. Because I am done. And that's kind of one of the last things I said to his face. Well, I know it's the last thing I said. It's not kind of, it was the last thing I said in person to him. And yeah, like, and I did it. And like, at the time, I remember saying it and thinking, like, I don't know if you're brave enough to do it. But I was, and I was brave enough to finally say, I can't do this anymore. I can't live like this anymore. I'm getting too, like, I wasn't too old for it, but like, at 23, you do feel like you're a little too old for that. And you're just like, I'm sick of, like, being this way. I'm sick of living this way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. I think, like, yeah, I think you just get tired of it. And sometimes I think it takes, like, getting tired of it in order to, like, break those patterns and, like, choose something different and be willing to, like, kind of step out of that, like, familiarity or that, like, chaotic comfort zone, which is, like, odd. Like, those is chaos and comfort together. But I think there is, like, a chaotic comfort zone, and like people find comfort in the chaos,
And I
unfortunately.
think too, like, I think this is pretty much the first time I've ever like publicly spoken about it, and there's been so much hesitancy around it because I knew his, because I don't know him now. I don't, he could be totally healed now. And I hope and I pray that's the case. I don't want him to be that way forever. I don't want another couple women to go through what I went through. Like, of course not. And I'm sure there's, you know, he's grown in some ways. I mean, he has to, you hope they do. And I'm not doing this to get back at him. I'm doing this to just kind of shed light on, like, hey, like, this is something that isn't just romantic drama, and this isn't something. These off and on again relationships that are so romanticized should not be romanticized. Because why are you on and off again? Why are you hot and cold? Like, what is going on? Because that's not how a relationship should be. And I think that we are quick to protect abusive men who have traumatic pasts, especially as women, because I feel like women can like laugh. So I'm going to say this, women can be not naturally nurturing. I know I hate that when people say that. Like, it gross. It gives me the ick.
To edit out, Serena. Just kidding.
Like, I'm not editing anything. But that we could be quick to protect them, even though they've done wrong, because we're like, well, they had, you know, their dad was like this, or their dad was like that, or, you know, but it's like, that doesn't, if we want to really protect vulnerable men, because men can be vulnerable too and experience abuse too, we need to start being honest about that. This is how you don't act, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your upbringing. The expectations need to be higher for men and for young men. And I think that we're just quick to make a lot of excuses for men. And I think that it's just something that's not really actually progressing anything forward. And I don't know. I doubt he'll ever hear this, and that's totally okay with me. I'm kind of hoping he doesn't. But my thing is, like, too, with like finding peace is like, I could definitely look back and be upset about the situation, but I'm not so much upset with the person as much as the situation itself. And whenever I, and just the fact that like stories like this are so common, you know what I mean? It just makes me so sad. But
I think that's
that's why we have these conversations.
exactly as I was gonna say. Like, I think that's why we have like this space and these conversations, and just like bringing awareness. And I think like people are gonna resonate with pieces of your story that, you know, may feel unique to you, but someone else may hear that and be like, huh, like, I never really, is that not normal? Or like, huh, well, like, no.
It's not, no. It's
It's not. If it's anything like this story, it is not normal.
not normal. It's not normal. Please don't make excuses for it. Please don't try to find inconsistency. Please don't try to say, well, she said this, but you know, my guy actually does that, but he also does this. It's like, no, it's all the same. If
Yeah.
this resonates with you, you need to get out.
Yeah, or just talk to someone that you trust and like really be real with
Right.
them. But what's happening in the relationship? I'm super grateful that you came on. We over time. I didn't expect you to ask from us because it's you and I. But sorry, it is definitely not 10:45 at night, the night before this episode airs in about 2 hours. But
And you're just gonna all pretend like it's not, and you're all gonna be okay with this unedited podcast. You're welcome.
You
She
know,
could have, hey, she could have skipped this week. She could have said, like, you know what, I'm just not gonna do it. She could have re-aired her abuse story.
I, you guys could listen to like my fourth different story of my life. I'm recording.
He was like, just as a recap, we're just gonna do a small recap
Yes,
this
just do the
week.
last healthy relationship. Just kidding. Okay. Anyways, but I'm super grateful that you came on such last on such a short notice. Yeah, for just various reasons, but I'm excited to like air your story and just for to hold on it hold it in this space, because like I mean I'm holding like different women's stories and that's
Yeah.
beautiful. But like holding like people who I call like my dear friends and like holding them in this space is like really, I don't know, it just means a lot to me. And so it sucks that this is like even a thing and that like this is a story that you resonate with, but I'm just grateful that you spoke about it and that you're here with me today. So if you have if anyone listening has just like anything, even feedback that they want to say, we'd always love to hear the feedback. You can message me and then I can pass over this feedback to Serena. I know that we'd love to hear like how these stories impact you and like if you feel like this pertains to maybe somebody else that could relate to this. Sharing the podcast is like a really special way, even if like you may not know how to like tell someone like, yeah, I think you're like in a really toxic relationship. Like you could always just like send an episode or just send the podcast in general. And
Yeah.
sometimes it means just like letting them sort
It may
like
not be the most discreet way to do it, but it's better to do it than not do it,
yeah, it's
probably.
better to not do it. And like sometimes you just people just like don't know what to say. And it's like sometimes maybe you don't need to say anything and like this these are there are resources here in this space for you.
Right.
Again, I'm super grateful that you came on and
Well, I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful that you continue to do this and you continue to push, and you know how I feel about you.
yeah.
I've sent you many audio messages, so they don't need to know about that.
Got me.
I'm not like a very intimate person, so like when I feel like propelled to be intimate in front of people, I'm like, ooh. So my husband tries to hug me in front of our coworkers, I'm like, ew. It gives me the ick. But I love you, and I'm just like very, I'm just so proud of you for how you continue to just do this and hold space for other women despite what you have experienced. And yeah, it would be easy for you to quietly go into the night, but you don't. And yeah, like this is just a really good space for women to come together and talk about the various experiences they've had within abuse. And I'm just glad these discussions are happening.
Did you say quietly go into the night?
Yeah, quietly go into the night. Well, I've said that's been like my phrase. I said, didn't I say that to you earlier today and yesterday? Like, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, quietly just like that's what I think about when I think about like women being silenced, is they just want us to like quietly just shut up, go into the night, just disappear, just like accept that this is what happened and just shut up. And you're like, no, I'm actually not gonna shut up.
Actually, I'm gonna stand on top of the table and
Yeah. I'm
top of my lungs. But
gonna flip my chair over and then I'm gonna get on the table.
yeah, actually, yeah. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here in this space. I hope that yeah, I hope that you guys have a good Christmas with your families. Just being aware that this time can be, I don't know, it can be sensitive. It can also be triggering for some. If you find yourself currently in an abusive dynamic, I think it's important to have things in place, such as people who you trust, friends who are aware of your situation, as well as being aware that sometimes, like, abusive behavior does increase around the holidays, based on
Yes.
stressors or even just, I don't know, ruining for the sake of ruining special times. And so just being aware of that and putting things in place to help yourself regulate. If you do not know, and you need some more resources on season 4, you can find a bunch of different episodes with those resources available for you. But I hope that you guys have a good Christmas. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. And tune in next Thursday for the next episode. Thanks, guys.